Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Welcome to the show that aims to help and encourage Christians who lead. We all know that mentoring can be a massive benefit, both for the Christian leader who is mentored and as a tool to assist and help people grow in their Christian lives. Mentoring language wasn't used in the Bible, but it clearly takes place, notably in the New Testament, Jesus with the disciples, the Apostle Paul and his associates, notably Timothy and Titus. There were clearly mentoring style encounters. You may indeed be in a mentoring relationship or the kind of friendship with someone that serves a mentoring purpose. But knowing something is a good idea is different from implementing it. And many leaders I meet would say that there is a dearth of good quality mentors. Although they know mentoring might be what someone really needs, they opt instead for other ways of connecting that don't require so much of their congregation or fellow workers. My attention was drawn to this dilemma by a blog written by a frequent guest on the Leadership Show, Trevor Waldock. It included the lines, "Why would I personally not engage in a mission to invest my life's experience and wisdom into the lives of a few young men?" So I'm looking forward to a conversation on how and whether Christians in leadership might invest in mentoring themselves and how we can better promote this idea with those we know. So welcome back, Trevor, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you, Andy. Good to be with you again.
So a brief biography as we start. How did you get into mentoring yourself?
First answer to that is I don't know. I found myself into it. I think some of that is probably having early mentors, people that I looked up to, respected, guided, helped. I didn't know that's what it was called. But I think by accident, really. Yeah.
Okay. And just to be clear, the words coaching and mentoring are used in different ways by different people on both sides of the Atlantic. Yes. So how are you using the word mentoring as opposed to, say, coaching?
Okay. So an American definition of coaching is much more, or usually, generalization here, usually much more directive. To say, "I will coach you," would be kind of, "I'm going to encourage you in this direction." You know, in a European / UK based view of the word coaching, it's much more, how do we work together to help you respond to what is it life is calling you to, whether that's in the workplace or wherever. And that mentoring was seen as the person is adding more of their experience, processed experience, into the conversation. Now, there are bad examples of that, which, you know, the caricature is the old man sitting with the young man at the bar going, "Well, my son, when I was your age, this is what I did, and this is what you should do." And so they're sharing their experience from a position of not really understanding this young person's world at all, and just simply wanting to pontificate about their world and experience. So that isn't mentoring. But mentoring is much more around getting on the other person's agenda, understanding deeply their world, and asking, what is it I can best offer them that will help them? And it might be a question, it might just be empathy, or it might be that you feed in a little bit of your experience and say, "Look, this is kind of what I went through. Is any of that helpful? How is it helpful?" So you'll kind of put something into play, but you really help them work out what's useful and what isn't useful. Okay. Rather than being directive.
Sure. Okay. So what's happening in our culture that's caught your attention on this issue of particularly mentoring, in your case, young men, and obviously women mentoring younger women?
Yes. I guess there's two dimensions on this, Andy. So one is personal. J.M. Barrie wrote Peter Pan, and the boys in Peter Pan were called the Lost Boys. Right. And, you know, one wonderful story, but very, very prescient of J.M. Barrie to come up with that phrase, the Lost Boys. And simply because I viewed myself as one of those lost boys, I don't regard that I had very good fathering. For what may have been good intentions or whatever, it didn't see me and foster me as I think I am. but it didn't feel very safe. So there are lots of reasons. So, you know, we talk about a father wound, as in what happens in a young boy's life. I'm focusing on boys, by the way, not because the issues aren't as true for young women, but I'm kind of looking at it, look, where can I best make an input? So when I talk about boys, it's not in any exclusive sense. I hope that any woman listening will equally take up the charge with young women, equally.
Sure.
So the notion of a wound is that something inside you is deep, hurting, and missing. So I had felt that a lot of my life in different ways, and could see it playing out in different ways. So I have a personal story. Three things caught my attention early on this year. It was kind of a perfect storm, really, in the media. One was Gareth Southgate, ex-England manager, doing the Dimbleby lecture. And he began to talk himself about what he'd seen over his footballing years and since around this desperate need for young men to have some mentors in their life, to have role models, people that could walk alongside them. So he was talking about it. But another thing he quotes is a piece of research that was published in March of this year. And the research is called Lost Boys. I don't know whether you remember from Peter Pan, the Lost Boys were boys without parents, basically orphans. And they talk about this idea of lost boys. And it's not necessarily that they physically don't have parents, but it's the absence of fathering that that they're trying to address. So that was a report by the Center for Social Justice, and well worth a read. And then at the same time, Netflix put on a very powerful four-part drama called Adolescence. And in this drama, in Adolescence, a very young teenage boy, the first episode shows the police coming in and arresting him for the murder of one of his classmates, a girl in his class. And the whole point of the four-part series is saying, how on earth did we get here? That this young male, early adolescent from the northwest of England would commit such a terrible crime. So it looks at it from different ways, from the culture, from the schooling, from the parents' point of view, from the boy's point of view himself. So all of those things were going on, and it just brought the issue to everyone's attention for a period of time, which I thought was great. What's concerned me most of all, as often is the way, is the silence since then. So I wrote a blog to just try and keep the issue alive, and I called it Every Male a Mentor, and we can dig into that. But that was kind of my response to say, look, here's an issue that isn't going away. The symptoms in society are so clear and stark. Why is it that every male of good character cannot be mentoring one or two young men in their lifetime, at least? So that's kind of what was stirring up for me, Andy.
And percentage-wise, sadly, our prisons are full of fatherless men.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but no. Both sides of the Atlantic is my understanding. Yeah.
Yes, and you know, the rise in teenage suicides amongst young men. You know, so that's what I'm saying. The symptoms are clear and stark in society, and they're not getting better.
Yeah. Now, Trevor, your blog listed some of the reasons why we don't engage in mentoring. So maybe we could look at a few of those, maybe your top three.
Okay. Well, let's see. I think I have about five in the top of my mind. Let's see what we come up. I think the first thing is a cultural issue, is we're not talking about it, which is why I wrote the blog, is we've got to keep talking about it. We must, you know, this issue isn't going to go away. So, I don't think that men of good character, and I, you know, there are some bad characters out there, so I'm not suggesting that every single male you'd want to be a mentor, but every male of a good heart and character could be a mentor, but the culture doesn't raise the issue, doesn't suggest it. No one's saying to them at work, you know, how about doing this? Or in the local youth groups or down the street is, look, here's an issue. What are you doing? So I think one issue is we're not talking about it. And Michael Mead said, when a society abandons its elders, the elders abandon themselves. And what that means is when we are not talking about these things, when we are not talking about the role that men could play, that men write themselves out of the script. They don't see, they're not even thinking about it. It's not on their radar screen. So I think that's the first thing. Second thing is, I think often people don't think they've got anything to offer. And part of that is, again, a misunderstanding. You know, no one is asking a mentor that they know exactly all the things that a young person knows. But what an older person has are life experience. And if you distill the wisdom out of that, then you've got a lot of principles that can be applied into that situation. So, for example, one simple principle is the need for long-term thinking. And there's lots of work being done about how our society has become addicted to short-term thinking and that good decisions do not come out of short-term thinking. How do we help people develop long-term thinking? Well, that principle is as applicable to a 12-year-old boy as it is to a 52-year-old man. So the principle is applicable. So we don't think we've got anything to offer, but we have. I talked even to a barrister recently, and I was talking about this issue, and she said to me, I don't think I've got anything to offer young people. So I just started talking about all the things that she'd done with her life, and I distilled the principles out of all those experiences and just said, look, people are desperate for these things. I spoke to a guy who was a business leader recently, and he just couldn't see that he'd got anything to offer. I said, you've got more experience in your little finger than most of these young people have ever seen. And they're desperate for people who can bring that kind of wisdom into their lives. So second one is, I don't think we have anything. We think we don't have anything to offer. And third one, I think, is we don't know how to begin. And, you know, we're happy to address that. But I remember talking with one guy and I was talking about it. He said, sign me up. What do I do? I have no idea what to do. So I think there is that, where on earth do you begin? What do you do? I think another one, my number four, would be fear of young people. I think some people, as they get older, actually fear young people, you know, the image of the hoodie. And again, it's trying to help people to just be more secure in themselves and not be threatened by the symptoms of what's going on in a young person's life, but to say, look, there is hurt, there is pain, there is defensiveness for very good reasons. So we need to be gentle and patient and, you know, approach this wisely, not as some kind of arrogant preacher or, you know, whatever. So I think there is a fear issue. And the last one I would put down there is everyone is swamped right now. We're swamped with distractions, everyone. I was sitting on the tube with my wife the other day coming out of London, and everybody in the carriage, everybody was on their phone. So this notion that our attention is utterly distracted for young and old, I think plays into this issue of not even considering having a conversation. So, you know, that's just kind of headlines, really, but they would be, I think, my top five, Andy.
No, that's enormously helpful, Trevor. So one of the issues was, so how do I go about it? And we haven't got long enough conversation to give a blow-by-blow account of how you might lead a mentoring session. But give me an idea of the kind of length, how you might start, how long it would go on for in terms of weekly, monthly. What your idea might be, for example.
Yeah, and I think the answer is all of the above. I think you have to work out with the individual what they want. You know, some people might say, I just once a month or once every few months. Someone say, where I'm at in my life right now, I'd really value once a week.
Yeah.
And how long is that conversation? Well, it could be half an hour, could be 45 minutes. And that's what I'm saying. You know, let's say it was half an hour, 45 minutes with two people once a week. That's an hour and a half, isn't it, roughly? Could you give an hour and a half a week to investing in the lives of two young people? It's not huge. So I think my experience of mentoring is you just have to talk with them about what is it you need, what's going on, what would be most helpful, and then judge. You know, there's no golden rule here. You might start weekly because there's a huge need, and then you might phase it to once a month, once fortnight, once a month, or once every other month, or just check in every now and again. So it's just keeping the conversation and the relationship open and constantly checking in with each other. What do you need right now? Yeah. And in order to get into it, I think, you know, my experience is you just got to ask people. I was talking with a friend the other day. He was talking with a bunch of students, university students. And he just said to them, look, where do you guys go to just talk about issues that matter to you and get some wisdom and input and advice? They just said, we don't have anyone. Don't go anywhere. So he just said, look, well, would it be helpful if I just met up with you once a month here in the cafe and we'll just talk about anything you want to talk about? And that's what they did. So I think asking people, would this be helpful? Would it be valuable? And even if you want a mentor, just take the courage to say to someone, look, would you consider just mentoring me for a period of time? So I think we could talk a lot more about it. And I've just been trying to write about it for this next book, really, to just try and say, look, here's a lot of different ways you could get into this. To just try and take away this the difficulty, as it were.
Sure.
And if anyone was really interested and kind of wanted a preview of that particular chapter, I'm really happy to send it to them.
Okay, brilliant. And obviously, we've happened to have mentioned the male side of things.
Yes.
This is equally a value and needed for women as well.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just approaching it as a male to young men, because of the need of male role models. The issues, and the reason why I'm focusing on every male a mentor is because I'm a male.
True.
And I can see the impact in every dimension of a young man's life. Absolutely equally true. You know, we need to see other female leaders start every female a mentor.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously this is a leadership show, and there will be some leaders for whom their mentality and outlook is such that they want to be much more directive. And would it be fair to say that such leaders won't make the best mentors?
Well, that's a very nice way of putting it. I think a good example of a bad mentor is that mentor who wants to, you know, they meet someone at the pub and they say, let me tell you about when I was your age and what you should do. You know, that phrase, what you should do is an absolute killer to mentoring, because people need to be seen. People need to be heard. That's where the transformation comes. When a young man feels seen and heard by someone, something will shift. If we just tell, then we're not hearing and seeing. And we're just reinforcing a lot of those kind of power imbalance relationships that will have contributed to their, you know, defenses in the first place. So I think one of the best ways to address this, Andy, is I would say to every kind of adult male is, do you have a mentor? Experience it. Experience good mentoring. Because I think that's one of the best ways of learning it, is to actually have it. Mentoring is at the heart of any developmental relationship. And, you know, it's easy to talk about sport. I used to be involved in cycle racing. Is, you know, nobody got good at sport ever without some people mentoring and coaching them. They had that conversation going on in their life. They had a team around them of mentors. So why do we expect that we will get the best out of ourselves in life unless we've got people who can speak into our lives too? In South Africa, the Afrikaans language has this wonderful word called inspraka. And the word literally means those who speak into your life. So we need to find some, experience it, and it will prepare us best, I think, to experience what listening, seeing, asking good questions, creating collaborative conversations actually feels like.
Yeah. And so, Trevor, within a church community, how might mentoring function, would you think?
How might it function? Well, I think the principle is the same, Andy. I think it needs people who are learners who want to invest in the lives of others. I think what it doesn't work in the church context are people who want to be preachers and teachers, because the model of transformation, just in my view, is an inaccurate one. You know, the idea in certain circles is if you just teach the Bible, people's lives will change. And that isn't the case. It's what you do with what you learn. It's how the process of actually taking truths and working with them. So transformation comes because someone feels seen and heard. So if you look at the model of mentoring, if you like, that we most have, it would be Jesus and his disciples, which is a mentoring relationship. And most of the learning takes place on the road. The disciples are invited to come and live a life, to walk away, to go along a path with this mentor, this teacher, this rabbi. And they ask questions, and Jesus teaches and speaks into that and asks other questions. Or things happen along the way, and those events are used as points of learning and teaching. So it's much more about that is the model that needs to be adapted. I think there's too much of a desire in certain church circles to feel like I am teaching someone else. And not only does that have a power imbalance, like I say, it doesn't take into account the dynamics of real transformation.
Right, right, absolutely. Trevor, do you have particular books that you've read that have been helpful to you along the way?
I don't know that I have about mentoring specifically, because often when people try and write books about these things, they end up becoming quite conceptual or academic. So I think any book that helps you to grow and learn and develop is a useful thing. I don't know whether there's any use. On my website, if you click on Youth Resources, I think it's called, I've done a whole load of very short videos, which are all about how to be a mentor. And so it's a kind of free mentoring training program, if you like. So have a look at that. See what you think, if that's of helpful to people.
Excellent. And how would people get in touch with you?
Well, my website would be www.trevorwaldock.net, or you can email me directly at trevor@trevorwaldock.net.
Excellent. And you mentioned...
I was going to just mention, so there's another thing called the Youth Compass Project, and you'll see a tab for that. It's got its own website, but you can tab off it on my own website, which is all about youth mentoring. It's all about a program for how do we create the next generation of unique Mandelas. But it's all based, it's free, and it's based on a kind of if anyone's looking for a curriculum, as it were, that they could work through with a young person, then that's there as well.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for I'm going to say raising the subject. Obviously, others have raised the subject, but you've kept you've hoped to keep the momentum.
Keep it the momentum, yes.
Hopefully. And it may be that there'll be people listening who are thinking, you're absolutely spot on. It's time in our church or in our community or in our workplace to start giving some attention to this.
Yeah. So that would be great, wouldn't it? Really great. But thanks. Thanks very much indeed. Thanks a lot.
So that was my conversation with Trevor Waldock. Waldock is spelled Waldock. His website is trevorwaldock.net. And you'll see one of the tabs at the top is the Youth Compass Project, which is what he was referring to. So do click on that. And then there's many articles on eldering and mentoring. If that's of particular interest to you, I think Trevor certainly raises or seeks to create momentum for a very important topic, namely how the older people in our generation pass on their wisdom and their insights to the younger generation, many of whom do not have familial ties. Perhaps they have no father or no mother or whatever alive in order to oversee their development. So maybe this will be an encouragement to some listening now to establish that kind of ministry within maybe a church or business or charity community. So as always, there's plenty of archive conversations around. Guy going to the Premier.plus website or app, type in the Leadership Show, and you'll get several hundred former conversations. And there are even more on the Apple, Podbean or Spotify feeds where you can get your podcast. So type in the Leadership Show or indeed the Leadership File, its former name. And you can get many more conversations to whet your appetite and give you insight into various topics. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.